Hello everyone and welcome to our service. My name is John O'Pierce and I'm the rector of St Finian's. So if you're tuning in or if you're connecting for the first time to one of our services, we're still in that season when Christians all around the world celebrate the wonderful fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and through his Spirit we believe that he lives within us. And we believe that he is always with us. But as we're all too aware in these strange times, life doesn't always go smoothly. And so today in our service, we're thinking about a challenge that we've all probably felt to a greater or lesser extent in recent weeks. That's the challenge of being afraid or fearful. And today in our service, we're going to think about the way that Jesus can use us, even at those points where we feel broken or fearful, to communicate his love, his hope, and his life, even in the midst of fear. Our opening song today is a song that reflects on the joy and the wonder of the very first Easter morning, as we sing, "See What a Morning."
Thank you.
Our Bible reading today comes from the Gospel according to St. John in the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I had a really powerful conversation some time ago with a young person who had discovered something really, really important in her life. And she spoke with me very movingly about all sorts of different experiences that she'd had, which helped her to grow and develop as a person. But what really struck me, however, was how she spoke about the impact her parents had had on her life. Knowing that they trusted her and believed in her had given her the confidence to do things that she would not have felt capable of doing in her own strength. And she spoke too of how those difficult experiences in life often make us rely more on God because we know we don't have it within ourselves to get through without his help. And it is a real gift, isn't it, to discover that there are people who believe in us even when we're not so sure about ourselves. And what a blessing it is to discover this from our parents, as this girl did. Or sometimes there has been a teacher or a grandparent, maybe there has been a sports coach or a boss at work or the leader of an organization who instills these things into us. And they maybe encourage us to step outside our comfort zone and to stretch ourselves to do things that we never thought we were capable of. Perhaps the greatest barrier for many of us is fear. We fear that we might fail. We fear that we will not be up to the task set before us. And we're afraid sometimes, too, of success, because success means that we might be asked to do something more, and we will eventually reach that point where our abilities are found wanting. Maybe at some point we made a mess of something we were asked to do. We didn't prepare as carefully as we might have, or maybe we were overconfident, and then the whole thing just went pear-shaped, and we were left with our confidence totally shaken, and we retreated to a place where we decided that we wouldn't venture out in that way ever again. And that's kind of where we meet Jesus' disciples today, in a place of despair and hopelessness. Having seen what happened to Jesus on the cross at Calvary, they met together in secret behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. It's lockdown in first century Palestine, and the enemy is not a deadly virus as we are battling in our own time of lockdown, but it is the paralysis of total fear. And what a debilitating condition that is. Who knows what would happen to those first disciples if they were seen in public? And they were thinking to themselves, perhaps they might just end up as Jesus had, strung up on a cross. And so we see that they retreated behind locked doors, closed off from the world, licking their wounds and their disappointment. And thinking about that, it must have been pretty awful to meet in this way, in those circumstances. To be behind locked doors, fearing the footsteps on the stairs, or worrying about the next knock on the door. Cooped up together in that room, reflecting on their own failures of the past week, thinking perhaps of the way that they had all deserted Jesus in his hour of need in the garden, and the way that they had fled for their own lives, giving no thought for him. And then suddenly, he is there in the room with them. And he looks at each one in turn and he says, "Peace be with you." It's a greeting of love, even though they have failed him. And then he shows them the wounds in his hands and side, so they can be in no doubt as to who he is. And it's incredibly moving, isn't it, that his scars can actually be their healing and their salvation as he gives them a task. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And Jesus breathes on them, empowering them with this new life of God's Holy Spirit. And he tells them of the task ahead. It's a task all about forgiveness and going out to the world to speak of his forgiveness and his love. And you wonder to yourself, how could Jesus possibly trust them with that task after they had failed him so terribly?
How could Jesus speak to them with love and communicate this incredible message? I believe in you. I love you. And I trust you. And I am sending you out because I need you to help me with this important work. I think it's here that we see something miraculous happening. And thank God that it is a miracle that has been repeated many, many millions of times over the centuries. It is that miracle that happens when a person is transformed through discovering that they are unique and precious and valuable to God, and that he needs them to help to bring his kingdom rule on the earth. And what's incredibly powerful is that it's so often in the points of our weakness and our scars that God works most powerfully through us. Through those wounds and difficult experiences, through those places of brokenness within us, God so often connects us to other people and says, I love you as you are in your brokenness. Now go out there and bring my love to others. We often protest and we say, no one will possibly listen to me. No one will understand. I can't speak in public. I could never let people know of my weakness. If they knew how I thought, or if they knew some of the things that I've done, they would never want even to know me. If you remember our Bible reading a few moments ago, you'll remember that Thomas missed out the first time by taking himself away. Plunged into grief and despair, he took himself away from his colleagues and he tried to work it through on his own. And even when they told him of Jesus being alive, he refused to believe it until Jesus graciously appeared to him and he invited him to go right ahead. Put your finger in the scars. Put your hand into my side. And the interesting thing is, we do not hear from the gospel account if Thomas did what Jesus invited him to do or he didn't do it. But what we do know is that he believed. Thomas believed. And as he even stated his belief, all his doubts crumbled and they were replaced by a faith that sent him out, just like the others, to convince the world that Jesus is alive, that he wants to be with us, and that it's possible for everyone, even doubters like Thomas, maybe like you and me in the current time, to believe and to find new life in Jesus' name. So when the world urges you to prove your worth, to prove your power and your strength, Jesus calls you and I to something different. He calls you and I to be a presence wherever he has placed us. A presence that is not ashamed of our wounds and our weakness. A presence that speaks courageously, even when everyone laughs at us, of his forgiveness and his love. and a presence that reminds people that he believes in those who do not believe in themselves. So, my friends, may all of us be empowered by God's Holy Spirit for this wonderful task, to proclaim his love, to make him known in the world, and to be bearers of his hope and his light. Amen. Let us pray. The response in our prayers to Lord in your mercy is, hear our prayer. Risen Lord Jesus, we thank you today for the way that you recognize things in us and you believe in us even when we do not believe in ourselves. Thank you for the incredible privilege of being called to share your love and hope in the situation that you have placed us in at this time. And in the midst of a climate of anxiety and fear, we pray that you would enable each one of us listening today to be instruments of hope and bringers of peace. And we pray that you would come today to our points of need and brokenness and bring healing and grace, so that your strength would be made known even in our weakness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today, Lord, for countries around the world that have seen huge loss of life in this time of coronavirus. And so we pray today for the United States, for Italy and Spain. We pray for the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland. And we pray around the world for government leaders, for health ministers, for public health experts, for frontline workers, and all who are making very vitally important decisions for our safety. We pray too for all who are fearful for their livelihood, for their families' safety. And we pray especially for all who grieve the death of loved ones, colleagues, and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today in our Bible reading, we heard Jesus speak of the importance of forgiveness and the power that he offers to help us through his Holy Spirit with that challenge. So today, Lord, we pray for all who struggle to forgive loved ones who have hurt them. We pray for the healing of painful memories. We pray for the perseverance to support those who battle inner demons of addiction and the variableness of mood swings and anxiety. We pray too for all who are finding the restrictions of lockdown overwhelming, and for all who seek to offer help in whatever way they can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we want to take just a quiet moment for everyone who is listening today to pray for those who are particularly in our thoughts or on our hearts as we come to this service today. We bring them into God's healing presence in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join all those prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray, as we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we bow our heads for God's blessing. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our service today. And as we say farewell for this Sunday's service, we hope that you will be able to join with us again. Keep connected with us by plugging into our website, www.stfinians.org, or take a look at the church's Facebook page, where you'll find different resources and prayers to hopefully bring some support and encouragement in these difficult times. Thank you again for listening, and we invite you to share in our closing hymn, All Glory, Lord, and Honour.